Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Anybody who wants to go tell Draymond Green that Game 3 had actually started, that would be awesome because he didn't seem to know it. I think he was actually busy taping yet another episode of the podcast during the game last night because he was just as effective as if he was doing that. It is Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on your smart speaker and on Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We have been talking to you about this a lot today. Was Draymond Green the reason that the Golden State Warriors lost Game 3, or is he being scapegoated? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is the question that we have put to you today. But there is one thing we have not touched upon it nearly enough that we need to, and that is who to actually credit last night for the Boston Celtics. And if you were picking an MVP through three games so far, you would be foolish not to pick Jaylen Brown, because Jaylen Brown deserves an awful lot of credit, deserves an awful lot of love for what he is doing in this series. Let's say what it has been. Jason Tatum's been, you know, not great in the first couple of games, better yesterday. Jaylen Brown has been fantastic.
No doubt about it. And the two are right there in terms of average points per game in this series. Jaylen Brown is at 22.7 points per game, and Jason Tatum is right at 22. So it seems like from a scoring standpoint, they've both been right there. But in terms of being able to quantify their impact, you got to be able to go beyond the numbers, man. Like, Jaylen Brown is a tone setter, not only on the offensive end, but what he does defensively, the attitude that he approaches it with. And so to me, that is, I guess, the barometer for what we can expect from the Boston Celtics from game to game, the attitude that Jaylen Brown approaches the game with, and you can see it early on. And last night in the first quarter, the guy dropped 17, including the first bucket, which was from deep. You saw the assist that he had to Al Horford for another three-point make, and then him being that kid in the corner knocking down a three-pointer. Jaylen Brown was all over the court in the first few possessions for the Boston Celtics. And to me, him going one-on-one against Draymond.
Yeah, waving off the screen.
And cooking Draymond the way that he did, not just once, but several times early on in that first quarter. Like, that to me sent a message loud and clear to the Golden State Warriors about what kind of game it was going to be now that the series has shifted back to TD Garden.
It's really just so difficult to think about the idea that he and Jason Tatum could not play together.
And you crazy,
see what,
right?
Yeah, and you see now what they are capable of doing together and how they have really come together as one of the most dynamic 1-2 punches in the league. And Brown, I marvel over what he has been able to accomplish when Tatum has gotten so much of the attention this year, and understandably so. But when you think about what they have done, they now are second right now in most combined points by teammates in a single postseason. And at first, it's at number one, it's Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook with 1,070. Tatum and Brown are second. They're going to pass that.
They're going to be number one. Yeah, they're going to pass these
they're
guys.
They're at 1,033.
Yeah.
They're going to pass that easily.
I mean, that's insane to think that these guys, they might not even be in their prime yet, Carlin. They might not even be in their prime. Tatum is 24. Brown is 25. They might not even be in their prime. Mm. So think about the runway that Ime Udoka is going to have with being able to continue to retool this team around these two guys as the cornerstones. Like, this could be the beginning of the Boston Celtics being able to go on a dynastic run. Now, they are going to have to contend with the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is still the best player in the world.
Okay, but, let's not get nuts on
no,
this.
No, but here's what I'm saying. Think about this. The Boston Celtics having two superstar, well, one superstar and one star player in Jaylen Brown, a guy that's right on the fringe of being an all-NBA performer. Like, I'm just saying, They're not in their prime yet. These guys are going to continue to get better. They are ascending players, Carlin. They're not as good as they're going to be, but think about the experience that they already have. They've already been to three conference finals, and now they're in the NBA finals, and they're up 2-1 against a team that's been to the NBA finals six of the last eight seasons.
Yeah, look, I they haven't won the series yet, so I'm not going to get into the
They haven't won the series yet, but Carlin, it's just spinning this thing forward. If they do, that's what we could be looking at for the Boston Celtics. That's how good Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have been since their season has turned around in January.
And then on the flip side, there's Draymond, who – for all the talk leading up to this, was just absolutely awful. And when I say all the talk, I mean his words. Because when you have the statements that he made after game two, and then you double down on them on your podcast, and then you freely admit after game three that you were worried about how the game was going to be officiated, and you fouled out of the game, I don't know how you can possibly really make those two sentiments work together, because you said all that stuff. The game was officiated differently, as we all knew it would be in one way or another, and yet here you are afterward saying that you were worried about it. Then why did you even talk about it in the first place?
Well, Carlin, that just lets me know that he didn't believe what he said post game after game two, where he said he's earned the right to have preferential treatment from the referees.
Which was an absurd thought to begin with.
It is. It absolutely is. And to verbalize it makes it even more ridiculous. But the fact that he said that, and then he was worried about how the officials would ref the game, and him in particular, and he fouls out in the next game, that just shows you that he didn't believe it when he said it. And the reality was, he was so concerned about it going into game three, it affected how he played and his overall impact on his team having the opportunity to have success.
So the question has come up quite a bit. Now, is the podcast an actual distraction? Now, he was kind of asked about it last night by Jake Fisher from Bleacher Report, who asked him, well, I'll just play it for you and you'll hear it.
Are you conscious at all of what you're saying about the X's and O's, the game plans, the adjustments could be making their way back to Boston staffers and influencing their decision-making at all?
No. I don't say much different on the podcast than I say to you right here. So, nah. What's the X's and O's that I said on the podcast?
Only real thing I noticed that like really stood out was you talked about how to cover White, Smart, and Horford differently between games one and two. That was really only.
Oh, yeah, that was just contesting shots. If that's X's and O's, then I don't. You reaching for something. It's all good, though. Keep going. Reaching heavy. The only thing, you find that they are taking X's and O's away from your podcast. Thing you said is White, Smart, and Horford.
I'm not trying to blow it up.
I mean, you went for it, but yeah. Hey, respect. Appreciate the podcast promo you just gave me. The Draymond Green Show. You next time, just mention it that way.
Well, he actually plugged it better than Draymond did at the beginning when he said, I don't say much different on the podcast than I do to you.
Yeah.
So then why am I going to subscribe to it?
Yeah.
But Draymond, like, he really should have been asked more about the officiating part of it, because that did play a major role. There wasn't X's and O's that was a concern. It was the officiating that Draymond went after. And as a result, Scott Foster last night is officiating the game, and Draymond fouls out of the game. Not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence. Also, six more personal fouls for the Golden State Warriors than the Celtics. And the Celtics were able to get to the line nine more times.
You're hurting your team. You're not helping them.
You're hurting them. Yep. And here's the other thing that we're not talking about. Draymond Green on the defensive end. He said it himself. He was soft. I mean, and just because he said it doesn't mean I'm not going to repeat it, because that was the reality of the situation. Now, he can blame it on being timid because of how he thought the refs would pay extra attention to him. But here's the thing, Carlin. If Draymond Green can't go out there and be a physical presence on the defensive end for Golden State, then who's that guy going to be for Golden State?
Yeah.
They don't have it.
No.
They don't have. It's not going to be Jordan Poole. It's not going to be Klay Thompson. It's not going to be Steph Curry. Those guys can't stay in front of anybody. And those guys aren't known for being physical players.
Maybe you.
So
have
who is it going to be?
You got to throw more minutes to Jonathan Kuminga because he's more athletic.
He's probably the more athletic, the more physical guy.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Maybe you can point toward Andrew Wiggins playing more of a factor. But I thought Wiggins was good defensively last night.
He was.
I didn't think Wiggins played a bad game. It's just when you have Draymond Green, who's such a centerpiece for what they do defensively, playing so poorly and then being a net negative on the offensive end, it's almost as if Golden State is playing 4-on-5 on both ends of the court. And that's not something we're accustomed to seeing. Well, he's a liability on offense because he won't shoot the basketball. But then last night he was a liability on defense. So what was the value in Draymond Green being in the game?
And there wasn't much.
Tell me.
There was
more value in him doing the podcast last night at 3 a.m. than it was him being in the game last
Which,
night.
By the way, on his podcast, he said he will continue to do the podcast after every
game. Yeah, because that's a great idea with your team being down 2-1 in the NBA Finals. That's a brilliant idea, Draymond.
No, it's
great
not, a,
idea.
Not a distraction
podcast
at all.
Podcast has no effect on how I play. Really, it doesn't?
The podcast isn't a distraction if you don't say stupid things on it. That's when it becomes a distraction.
Preferential treatment by the refs, and he fouls out in the next game.
So, was
coincidence?
Is Draymond the reason that the Warriors lost last night, or was he being scapegoated for it? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Load up the lines. Had some awesome calls from you last hour. Want to hear more from you on this. What makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging, and reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. And they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. Hey, guess what? Chris is a Lakers fan. Russell Westbrook had some interesting things to say, and there was a veiled shot at LeBron. We will get to that in just moments. Canty and Carlin for Greeny on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
On the phones, a question has been posed. Was Draymond the reason that the Warriors lost Game 3, or is he being scapegoated? Let's hit up Roy next on the telephone lines on ESPN Radio. Roy, what do you got?
Okay, I'm going to ask you your question real quick. No, Draymond wasn't the reason. The other guys didn't step up. Seth got hurt. Like I say, there's no iron team. Draymond can't do it by himself. You need at least three guys to help out. But my question to you is, do you think that the Scott had anything to do with the different turnout of the game? And then, who's the guy getting married in 2 months? You tell him I said he should have let that lady get a money order in front of him because that's why she went off.
She did get the money order in front of me. What are you talking about?
Okay, I was just making sure because I didn't know if you let her go in front of you or not.
Which I didn't let her. She went in front of me, even though I was told by the workers at the post office I was supposed to be next. But that was when the listen, lady went postal in the post
I gotta,
office.
I got to say something. And listen, Roy, thanks for the call. You didn't want that smoke.
I didn't. I was scared. I was nervous. And that's not easy for a 6'8", 340-pound man to get nervous.
I was going
to say,
look, I know you went up against some nasty offensive linemen. 60-year-old woman in a post office in New York City.
Wanting a money order that she had to have for tomorrow? Nope. Yeah, I didn't want any parts of that.
No, take a pass on that. I don't think the game was played any differently by the Warriors other than Draymond being ineffective because of Scott Foster.
But here's the thing, though. He's talking about Draymond can't do it by himself. Well, Draymond didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And there were three guys on the team that combined for 74 points. Wiggins, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, they made contributions to the team last night.
And when Steph got hurt, the horse was out of the barn.
Yeah, but tell me, what did Draymond do to help his team last night?
Nothing. Nothing.
He did nothing.
Nothing.
Carlin, Draymond Green scored two more points than you and I, and he played over 34 minutes.
He had more fouls than points and assists combined.
Come on, man. For $30 million, you're a future Hall of Famer, and that's what they get? Yet you don't want to put any blame on Draymond. You're saying he can't do it by himself? Yeah, he can't do it by himself, but he should be able to do something, and we got nothing for him. So for all the big talk after game two and all the stuff on his podcast, he goes out there and he lays an egg.
So last night, I'm watching NBA Countdown, and Greeny brings in Woj from On the Court for some insight on Russell Westbrook, because Woj spoke to Russell Westbrook yesterday to kind of feel him out about the Darvin Ham hiring and everything. Here is Woj filling us in on that conversation.
Russell Westbrook really expressed tremendous enthusiasm for the Darvin Ham hire, really has started to connect with him on a human level. He said he really admires his path to becoming a head coach and his really, you know, his no-nonsense approach, results-oriented. Those are all things Russell Westbrook said he really identified with. And one thing he really loved hearing from Darvin Ham so far, the idea that not only is he going to hold Russell Westbrook accountable as they move forward, but he's going to hold the entire team accountable.
That's interesting. Going to hold not just Russell Westbrook accountable, but the entire team accountable. That is some coded language from Russ that's taking a shot at LeBron and whether or not LeBron was ever actually held accountable. Can I read that any other way than that?
No, there's no other way to read it, but here's where Russell Westbrook is off just a little bit. LeBron James helped the Lakers win a title 3 years ago.
Yes, he did.
What has Russell Westbrook done for the Lakers?
Not very
much.
And
when's the last time Russell Westbrook won a title?
Never.
February, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need Russell Westbrook to chill out when it comes to accountability. Russell Westbrook has to find a way to coexist with LeBron James on the court at the same time, because LeBron James and AD were the ones that were caping for him to be able to come over from Washington and play with them in his hometown and have a chance to be able to compete for a ring.
I still really would kill to be a fly on the wall in the room of that discussion between the three of them, LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook, and how LeBron and AD came out of that and thought, you know what? That's our guy. That's where we got to go to get closer to winning a championship this coming year when you know the entirety of Russell Westbrook's history.
Yeah, I don't understand that, especially when you get the reports from Magic Johnson and others that DeMar DeRozan to the Los Angeles Lakers was essentially a done deal until AD and LeBron vetoed that. Think about if the Lakers would have had DeMar DeRozan, who was a top five scorer this year.
He was tremendous this
versus
year
versus having a guy like Russell Westbrook. And here's the reason why DeRozan probably would have made a little more sense. At least DeRozan can hit a jump shot.
Has there ever been a future?
LeBron James-led teams, you always have to have shooting surrounding LeBron James to space the floor.
Exactly.
It's a better fit for what the Lakers needed in order to keep them competing with the better teams in the conference. And the fact that they didn't have that and Russell Westbrook was essentially a net negative this year.
Well, it's funny that I was going to use those exact words.
No, that's exactly what he was.
Yeah.
They were calling him Westbrick at the crypto.
Yeah.
Like that's how bad he was on the court. So I don't know how they move this thing forward. I know LeBron James was frustrated at the Lakers brass at the trade deadline because they didn't attach that 2027 first round pick in order to move Russ and try to bring back a piece that could help him.
Dude, you brought him here.
But he's the one that brought him here, and now he's got to sit in that. He made the bed, now he's got to lay in it. And ultimately, I think it's going to result in LeBron not being able to take advantage of the twilight years of his career.
When you think about future Hall of Fame players like Russell Westbrook, the all-time leader in triple-doubles, can you honestly think about another future Hall of Famer that not just this year, Chris, I think has spent a lot of time in his career for his team in terms of winning, being a net negative? It's not just this season. It has happened many times before in his career. I can't think of a Hall of Famer that I would ever describe as that. We all know Russ is a, absolutely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
With all of the numbers that he has put up.
No, he's a Hall of Famer, but in terms of impacting his team, winning in a positive way, it's hard to point to it. Even going back to those OKC days when he had James Harden and Kevin Durant, if you can't figure out a way to make it work with two other MVPs, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It's just like Russ doesn't play nice in the sandbox. And then hearing Darvin Ham talk about how excited he is to work with Russ, and then the first thing he leads with is how much he needs Russ to be a dog on the defensive end and get back to that. Answer this question for me, Carlin. When was Russell Westbrook ever a dog on the defensive end of the court?
Let me see. No, never, ever.
Never. So if that's what the new head coach is saying and that's what he's leading with, in a roundabout way, he's giving you his opinion on what he thinks Russell Westbrook's contribution to the team is going to be this upcoming season, which ain't great.
Yeah. Trying to tell Russ, yeah, you'll be a nice little role player.
Yeah, we're going to lean on you to be a dog defensively. We're going to get you the ball. We're going to get you the ball in some different spots on the court. All right,
as in maybe like out in the concourse.
Exactly, exactly.
When you're bringing in the racquetballs or something like that, because honestly, I don't. If you're actually talking about Russ being a defensive stopper,
Russ will not be on the Los Angeles Lakers after the trade deadline.
I don't
know if they move him this summer, but he's not going to finish next season with the Lakers.
Well, at some point, and whether or not it's now, at some point soon, his contract will be attractive.
It's valuable. It's an expiring contract. And nobody wants to pay Russell Westbrook $47 million next year. But if we're talking about half of that salary being gone, are you willing to pay $20 million and give up an asset for an expiring contract?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe
possibly.
So. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Up next, more of your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Was Draymond Green the reason that the Warriors lost to the Celtics last night, or is he being scapegoated? And, boy, you talk about some misguided comments. We've got a doozy that's coming your way in just moments. Canty and Carlin for Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
It's a little tough to take from Klay Thompson complaining about the fans in Boston using too many four-letter words and being rough. Listen to Klay last night after the game.
It was not a factor. We played in front of rude people before, dropping F-bombs with children in the crowd. Real classy. Good job, Boston.
I mean, come on. Listen, if you expected somewhat differently, I mean, you're not new. You're not new to this, and it's going to happen, especially in a place like Boston. And now all you have done is ensure they are going to be much, much rougher on you. Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Chris, I just don't understand what's to be gained by Klay post-game complaining about it.
Yeah, it's trivial. I mean, even if somebody asks you the question, there's no reason to go into this this monologue or diatribe about what the Boston fans are being rude and them cursing with kids in the crowd. That makes no difference. That has no bearing on what's happening with the complexion of this series. So why even waste your breath? Why even waste any energy talking about that? Talk about how we need to be better on the defensive end. Talk about how we need to make sure that we can do more in the fourth quarter. Talk about how you and Steph were 1 of 7 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Not just let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, how you guys need to step up in clutch time, how you need to be more of a catalyst for your team and what you're doing when it matters the most. Why are we spending time talking about how rude the fans are in Boston? And, Carlin, help me out with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the behavior from the Boston fans par for the course?
Yeah.
I mean, not just in any NBA arena, but in any sports venue, period.
Absolutely.
If you're the visiting team, you're going to be called everything but a child of God.
Yes.
They're going to curse at you. They're going to say all of these different things. Now, we've both agreed that you cross the line when you start using racially charged language.
Yes, absolutely.
And that type of stuff. But in terms of the four-letter words and all of the things that are associated with that, that's what's going to happen. I played over a decade in the National Football League. That's what happens when you go out to the link in Lincoln Financial to play against the Philadelphia Eagles. Guess what they're going to call you? That the same stuff that the Boston Celtics fans called Draymond and the Golden State Warriors. So to me, this thing about all the fans are being rude and we've got to tone down the language for the children.
Oh,
it's absolutely ridiculous. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And it's even better when Draymond goes out there post game with his child with him.
Draymond, how do you feel you played?
But you got to listen to Klay Thompson, Dre. It's about the kids. You can't be using four-letter words around the kids.
Is it anyone going to think of the children? Some pretty dumb comments. We'll get to those in just a moment. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny, coming to you live from above the Heineken River deck at Pier 17. Before I do, I got to ask you more of a personal question here, and this is just in relation to me. Now, I am certainly someone that throughout my entire life has struggled with weight. I've always been a bigger guy, and
really?
I am
really
stunning. I know. I am obviously at this time where it is not going to get any easier to try to get myself healthier, and I've been trying the last couple of weeks to do just that. So yesterday, I am walking into the Seaport to do the show, mm-hmm. and there is, across the street, some guys who listen to the show who run a boxing-like gym.
Yes.
Where a lot of people go in the morning to go work out.
Yes.
And we know that boxing is a huge, very popular thing now in terms of working out and getting your cardio in. And he says to me, listen, anytime you want to come in here and throw some ones and twos, I'm here. I'm your guy. We'll shut it down. We will shut this place down for you.
Oh, so you want to go in there and show them hands still work, huh?
Now, listen, I can drop a two-piece with a biscuit,
ooh.
Okay? But all I'm going to say is this. I have this fear because I know me, and I know what my – every day I continue to get surprised by what the current endurance level is and how rapidly it is dropping in my life.
Yeah.
But, Chris, I have to imagine if I go in there, and I'm trying to get into, like, boxing and make that be my cardio. And don't get me wrong. It's an incredibly attractive offer.
Okay.
I'm going to be done in less than 4 minutes. Like, I am going to look like Keyshawn after two possessions in the basketball game. I mean, Nuno, tell me I'm wrong here. I mean, Keyshawn had his hands on his hips. And, you know, that is going to be me. By the time, like, I'm going to get winded from you taping me up. Let alone me actually getting in there and throwing some punches. I have to believe that that's not going to be in a – I'm looking for the most effective ways for me to get my cardio in. That doesn't feel like a realistic one.
No, see, the trick about getting your cardio in is wrapping it around something that you actually enjoy doing or something that's
so
not
getting
as
it, getting
something
it in
that's after, not as painful as going on a three-mile jog.
So doing my cardio in and around having a pizza.
No, doing
that
your
would be something I enjoy
no,
doing.
No, but doing your cardio in and around boxing. Or you like to play golf. How about you don't use the cart and walk the course?
Well, let's
didn't you say
here.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
I know Carlin needs to walk the course, but you are suggesting that. Didn't you say recently you don't play golf unless you're on a using a cart?
No, you're absolutely right, Nuno. But we're talking about Carlin. We're not talking about me. I'm trying to come out. I've got my secret sauce for how I get my cardio in. I'm just saying, I'm trying to help out my teammate.
But I'm not going to enjoy golf then if I'm doing that.
Because but again, you are going to get your steps in.
But Chris.
So listen, you can't have
the
it both
12th
ways.
Hole now.
Are you going to go jogging? Are you going to ride the bike? Are you going to do the boxing? If you're not going to do those things, then walking on the golf course during your round might not be the worst way to get your cardio in.
But I actually, by the 13th hole with the cart, the endurance starts to fade.
Maybe only play nine. Walk and just play nine
there
that
you
day.
Go.
But
there you
yeah,
go.
Listen, they're not going to set you up in a 12-round match. Like, they will take it slow with you. They're trying to help you.
No, I know that, but I just have a feeling like the first time I throw a couple of punches, which, by the way, I got in 9 fights my freshman year of high school. Nine fights. It's a Catholic high school.
Did you start the fights, or were you the guy that was being bullied?
No, I was the guy being bullied.
You were the guy that was being bullied?
That's why I would have been.
But you didn't back down, though. That's impressive.
And I wouldn't even say bullied at the time. I would have said I was the guy that was being targeted to really, you know, just with fat jokes and all that stuff. And I was going to all-boys Catholic high school.
So who threw the first punch?
In most
instances, who threw the first punch?
I would say about half-half.
Half-half, okay.
Yeah, but it was more about I was triggered at the time. I was triggered.
Do you remember that one time you threw that first punch and you, I want to say lay out someone because I don't know if you actually did that, but
no.
Like you got Jimmy really good or something. Do you remember that one time?
I do remember one time, yeah. I got one kid really good.
See, Carlin, I don't remember that one time, the first time I knocked a kid out, but I do remember the first time where I punched a guy with all I had and he ate it and smiled. That is an absolute scary feeling. That is one of those instances where you're like, we got a problem. Houston, we have a problem.
I mean, when you do that, was it the legendary Tiny Lister? Who was it?
No, it's some kid in my high school. Listen, this was one of the scariest all-time moments in my life because, I mean, you're sitting there about to get into a fight and you're thinking to yourself, well, if it's going down, I'm going to throw the first punch.
Right.
I don't want to get hit first. I'm gonna be proactive about this deal. So I try to get the first punch, and I'm like, listen, I'm going to hit this guy with a barrage and hit him with the one thinking that, you know, there's a lot behind this thing. And he just took the punch, and I was like, yeah, this is probably not going to go well for me. Now, thank goodness I had some partners around me that were able to rally and kind of grab both of us. But that could have got real ugly, big fella.
Yeah, there was nobody in my corner. And I
he said there was nobody in my corner. Did you not have any friends?
No, I mean, it was...
You went to school, you had nobody?
No,
you
had
no
friends.
It was Carlin versus everybody at Catholic school.
It was freshman year. And, dude, you got to understand, like, you got to wear a jacket and tie every day. It's hot outside. It was like Lord of the Flies that year.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
You know, and... I don't think I've had one little skirmish in college, but other than that, I've never had one since.
Uh-huh.
But it was just me trying to stand up for myself.
Gotcha.
And still losing fights.
Yeah. But you're used to boxing, so this is going to be something that you're thinking about incorporating into your cardio. I think you should give it a go. Guys are fans of the show. They're going to get you into it. It's going to be some great stories for us.
I'll say, let's call it what it is, okay?
I mean, you're going to look like Butterbean out there trying to box.
Yeah, exactly. I should get the red, white, and blue shorts.
No doubt. No doubt. Apollo Creed ain't got nothing on you.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Make it a show thing.
It's a content. It's absolutely content.
Yes.
And we got to get it taped, and we got to get all that stuff.
No doubt.
I'm willing to do it.
I mean, listen,
shot,
if we spend all that time and effort on that horrendous 2-on-2, like, this would be much more entertaining. Come on. I mean, this would be a lot more entertaining than that.
Oh, my God.
Carlin sparring. I like it.
I guarantee you this. I would have a better strategy than Barton Hahn did of letting Jay shoot.
Oh, of course you would. Of course you would.
Well, all right. We'll kick it around. Maybe we can put something together
there. You go. Carlin with the rope-a-dope. You just hope that you're the one on the rope and not the dope.
Yeah, I was going to say, there'll be a whole lot more dope to it than me hitting the ropes. Because then when I hit the ropes, I'm going to go flipping over them. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What is Jack Del Rio doing? Somehow,
speaking of dopes.
Yeah. Yesterday at a press conference, he's just, as the Commanders defensive coordinator, is talking, and he has said some questionable things before, but this one really took the cake.
I think we all, as Americans, have the right to express ourselves, especially if you're being respectful. I'm being respectful. I just asked a simple question, really. Let's get right down to it. What did I ask? A simple question. Why are we not looking into those things? If we're going to talk about it, why are we not looking into those things? Because it's kind of hard for me to say I can realistically look at it. I see the images on TV. People's livelihoods are being destroyed. Businesses are being burned down. No problem. And then we have a dust up at the Capitol. Well, there's nothing burned down. And we're not going to talk about, we're going to make that a major deal. I just think it kind of two standards. And if we apply the same standard and we're going to be reasonable with each other, let's have a discussion. That's all it was.
So
that's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's disgusting to listen to Jack Del Rio say that.
For those who are unclear, he was referencing the discussions around the riots and things that happened after George Floyd and all the protests that were around that. And then in relation to January 6th, which he called a dust-up.
And the hearings that are happening on the Hill this week.
Right. And people who perished, who died that day.
Yeah, the Capitol Police officers.
Defending the Capitol.
Capitol Police officers.
Yes. Absolutely.
So as much as we want to honor our servicemen and women and our first responders and our police officers, the people in our society that keep us safe, he referred to the insurrection that was led by domestic terrorists as a dust-up, while Congress is trying to certify an election that stood up to every court challenge that was out there.
Listen.
And he's drawing that comparison or that equivalent or equating that to the outrage that black and brown communities had in the wake of what happened with George Floyd, an unarmed black man that was handcuffed by police and was killed by Derek Chauvin, a police officer that was kneeling on his neck for over 8 minutes. Yeah, because those two things are the same, Carlin. We're going to try to equate that. That's the part that I don't understand. He refers to the riot at the Capitol where police officers lost their lives to the outrage and the riots that happened in the wake of George Floyd. How about Jack Del Rio? How about you have a little more empathy? You do realize that you're a coach in the National Football League, right? You do realize that the National Football League is made up of over 70% black players. So a lot of the guys that you've built your livelihood on are guys that have people in those communities that are potentially affected by how we're treated in this country, how black and brown people are marginalized. And a lot of that has to do with what's happening with law enforcement. I don't understand how Jack Del Rio can draw that kind of comparison or try to make that type of parallel as if those two things are the same, because they're not. And that's the part where I think it's outrageous, it's outlandish. More people in the media, more players in the National Football League need to be talking about this, and there has to be some form of discipline or accountability for this, because it's absolutely ridiculous and it's completely insensitive to the plight of black and brown communities.
Here's what Del Rio tweeted after the fact. Shockingly, a sort of apology. I made comments earlier today in referencing the attack that took place on the United States Capitol. I called it an attack here. The attack that took place on the United States Capitol January 6, 2021, referencing that situation as a dust-up, was irresponsible and negligent, and I am sorry. I stand by my comments condemning violence in communities across the country. I say that while also expressing my support as an American citizen for peaceful protest in our country, I have fully supported peaceful protests in America. I love, respect, and support all my fellow coaches, players, and staff that I work with and respect their views and opinions.
Carla, let's have a little more outrage for loss of life.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about unarmed citizens at the hands of police or we're talking about armed domestic terrorists who are killing Capitol Police officers. Let's talk about that. How about we have more compassion for the loss of life than when we're talking about buildings and businesses? I'm not sitting here condoning what we saw with the riots in the wake of George Floyd. But we got to understand where that outrage came from. It came from watching what happened with George Floyd. It came from watching what happened with Tamir Rice. It came from watching what happened with Terrence Crutcher. It came from watching what happened to Walter Scott. The list goes, Eric Gardner. The list goes on and on and on. At some point, something about it has to change. But what does Jack Del Rio choose to focus on? Oh, I want us to keep that same energy for what happened with the dust up at the Capitol with what's going on in the wake of the riots with George Floyd. It's ridiculous, Carlin. Think about how ridiculous that is. It's no compassion, no empathy for an entire community that has been marginalized in this country for centuries. And these are the people that you're leaning on for your livelihood.
I just wonder where the accountability is. It's one thing, and I wouldn't even defend it then. It's one thing when you make a dumb comment once. But he talks about I've always defended the peace right for peaceful process. Actually, that's not true. And you were quoted in 2016 about Colin Kaepernick and how it's not appropriate. That was peaceful.
Yeah, exactly.
Protest.
So Colin Kaepernick, peaceful protest, that wasn't good for you. But the riots weren't good for you either.
Yeah.
So how should black and brown communities protest police brutality? How should we do it, according to Jack Del Rio? Answer that for me.
Chris, I do have to wonder at some point, and trust me, we get into the whole discussions about cancel culture and all that stuff. This is just stupid and ignorant, and not the first time he has said something like this. And did I miss something? And I hate to put it this way, but what happens when you are a great player and you do something stupid? Well, generally you get excused and you get another opportunity and you have to make up for it.
Sure.
But you're great in terms of your talent and all that. Why is Jack Del Rio worth the headache for anyone as a defensive coordinator?
He's an assistant coach with the Washington Commanders.
Never had any real success as a head coach.
And he's created this distraction, and now
multiple times.
No question about it. But then also, Carlin, there comes the question of how his players are going to respond to it. And the fact that it's even a question means that it's something that's completely unnecessary. It means that it's something that could be detrimental to what your football team is trying to get accomplished in OTAs and minicamp and what you're trying to do this upcoming season.
We've got just under a minute left. Just the players, how are they responding here? You touched on it briefly.
They're not going to take this well.
Yeah.
They're not going to take this well. Now, I've heard people say that players have an incredible ability to compartmentalize, and there's certainly disagreements in the locker room when it comes to social issues. But here's the one thing as a player that you need from your coaches. I need to be able to trust that you've got my back and that you're going to put me in positions to have success and that you're thinking of me as well as my teammates when it comes to what we're trying to get accomplished this season. I don't know how players can have full trust and confidence in Jack Del Rio having their back. And that's a big problem if you're Ron Rivera and the Washington Commanders going into the season.
And that's why you have to wonder, is Jack Del Rio even worth it at this point?
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.